Welcome in to another Ultimate Division crossover. You'll be hearing from Locked On Chiefs host Ryan Tracy, Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke, and of course, Locked On Chargers host Daniel Wade. I'm your boy Q from Locked On Raiders. And right now, today is, well, it's Raiders Day. It's not Oakland Raiders Day. It's Las Vegas Raiders. And I think this is the first time that we can say as a division, as a crossover on the Locked On Network, that we're talking about the Las Vegas Raiders instead of the Oakland Raiders. And obviously, their season in 2019 got off to a decent start, ended up at 6-4 at one point, looked like they were going to make a playoff rush, and then kind of, boom, took a fall and ended up the season 7-9 overall, but some good things to take away from, some bad things to take away from as well. The Raiders' job, John Gruden, Mike Mayock's company, they're going to have to improve the roster in a major way in 2020 as they enter Las Vegas, enter the new stadium, Allegiant Stadium. It looks beautiful. It looks awesome. Obviously, the draft will be held there in late April, so that'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, man, it's a new era of Raiders football, so we're here to talk about it on the Ultimate Division crossover again. Got Cody Rourke from Locked On Broncos, Daniel Wade, Locked On Chargers, and my man Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs. So I know you guys have some questions. You guys want to Howard Cosell me about some things that went on with the Raiders, so go ahead and jump right into it, Ryan.
I got to tell you, it's going to take me a while to say Las Vegas. It's a little troublesome for me. But I go back to a year ago at this time, well, maybe a couple months past, and I came away from the NFL draft last season pretty smitten with what the Raiders had done. And across the board, I know there was an injury up top, but everything. But how did the rookie class perform in 2019, and what does that lead them to in 2020?
Well, it leads them to a lot of expectations in 2020, you know, because they have a bar that they set really, really high from what they did in 2019, and their draft was excellent. I mean, it really was. Well, I mean, you have three first-round draft picks. You're supposed to hit on them. Two out of three performed really well. And one, obviously, was really great in Josh Jacobs, the number 24 overall pick. Clelin Ferrell started to play a little bit better, higher expectations towards the end of the season. And Jonathan Abram is kind of the unknown guy because he only played in one game, that opening game, and then he tore his labrum. But still, you have those three draft picks, and you have guys that you expect to get out there and play, and they did that. But really, I mean, later on in the draft, man, Mike Mayock and company really hit on those late round picks, the fourth round picks, the fifth round picks. You got Max Crosby coming up with 10 sacks his rookie year. That's a fourth round pick. Nobody thought that that was going to happen. That's what everyone expected the number four overall pick to do. You know, go be that guy to replace Khalil Mack and go and get 10 sacks. Instead of your fourth round draft pick did that. Then Hunter Renfrow, the fifth round draft pick at wide receiver, comes in and plays a really good role for the Raiders. And so their draft class, in my opinion, was exceptional. I think it was one of the best in the league, to be 100% honest with it. I've seen some different people grade, different divisions in their draft. And I see everyone having the Raiders in 2019 really at like A-, whatever for their draft. I always feel like you can't judge a draft class until like year two or year three. But with the way that they played, as much as the rookies played in 2019, I think you have a pretty good idea, a good assessment of what the Raiders got with their draft class. And I mean, they made a former first round draft pick, defensive back in Gerrion Conley, expendable. They traded him to the Houston Texans the week before they played the Houston Texans because they felt like their second round draft pick, Trayvon Mullen, could go in there and fill that role. And so he made, you know, it's just like these guys were able to step up and play early, and they were able to play often, and they got a lot of good results. And not only that, they got some good results from guys who are undrafted free agents, like their fullback Alec Ingold, their punter AJ Cole. Again, just Mike Mayock and company hit it out the park. Now the expectations are, well, if you did it once, you got to do it again. So that's going to be their big challenge, is hitting another one, hitting another draft out of the park, because to make this roster where it is to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to have another home run as far as the draft goes.
And I think that the Raiders draft class, I mean, the rookies, I look at Hunter Renfrow, and we've talked about a Q. He is a Gruden grinder. He's a John Gruden type player through and through. I think my biggest question for the Raiders in hindsight, looking at them in 2019, also segueing into how they do in 2020, Derek Carr, I mean, there was some discussion before the season that him and John Gruden didn't get along. They didn't really see eye to eye. There's been some times where the camera pans to the sideline. It seems they might be in a disagreement with somebody. Take a look at Derek Carr's 2019 season. What did you see from him, and also how does that segue into where he fits in 2020?
Yeah, you saw some good things from Derek, and you saw some bad things. You know, I mean, no fan ever wants to see on a fourth down play him throw it into the dirt. You know what I mean? They just don't, because you know on fourth down, that's all you got. So when he did that multiple times throughout the season, it's frustrating. It's one of those things like, what is he doing? He gave up on a play. But then again, if you look down the field and there's nothing there, you kind of understand why he's just throwing it in the dirt. But you want to see a little bit of something. You want to see him compete. You want to see him get after it and do like Patrick Mahomes does, where nothing's ever over. You know, no play is ever over. He feels like there's always a guy that's open and available. And Derek Carr doesn't do that all the time. I mean, I think when you look at his season, statistically, it was pretty good. I mean, statistically, he had one of his best seasons ever. But all in all, there was moments and games that Derek Carr didn't come alive and be the guy that the Raiders needed. Obviously, on the road against Kansas City, a place that he's never won, can't do it. You know, I mean, it's just when situations aren't ideal, Derek Carr is not the best quarterback. You know, when it's cold, when, you know, the offensive line isn't protecting like it should, when the wide receivers aren't getting open, when the best play call is not called. You know, sometimes guys got to be able to improvise. That's kind of something that, Cody, I think you talked about earlier in the week about, you know, guys being a little bit mobile and quarterback change. The play is a little bit different in the league now. You've got to be able to make something. You've got to be able to make lemonade out of a lemon. And Derek Carr hasn't really quite figured that out. He's a really good quarterback when everything is ideal. But we all know in the NFL, it isn't always ideal.
Well, and I can't comment on that because the Chargers would never have any sort of, you know, QB controversy. It's just been one guy. So I won't say anything about that. But I do want to talk about specifically in the 2019 season, what you guys got from Darren Waller, because I thought this season was really the explosion of Darren Waller. He's always a guy that you saw his physical traits. I mean, came into the league as a wide receiver. He has the wide receiver speed and ball skills as well. So what did you see coming from Darren Waller going into the season, and how did he exceed those expectations to become, you know, one of the most productive tight ends in the NFL?
That's an excellent question. And going into the season, there was a big question mark. You know, it was the most known unknown. You just really did not know what the Raiders were going to get from the tight end position. A lot of Raider fans were upset because Jared Cook left to go to New Orleans as a free agent and said, well, how are you going to replace the tight end? You went and drafted Foster Moreau in the fourth round out of LSU, but we all know that LSU until this year was not very big as far as offense goes. So it's like, okay, what are you going to do? Who's this Darren Waller guy? Yeah, I know that, you know, you picked him up from Baltimore, but what's he going to do? Well, the Raiders had a plan for him, you know, so he came into the season in 2019 and this dude just exploded. You know, he showed all that athleticism that he had. He cleaned up his act off the field, and it made his play on the field great. He really understood what his role was. He really understood that he was going to be called on early and often, and he was. And, I mean, he went over 1,100 yards receiving, you know, and almost had 100 catches on the season. I mean, the guy was an exceptional piece of that Raiders offense. He was a key cog. Obviously, teams started to prepare for him a little bit more down the stretch of the season, and so his numbers weren't as large, but he was still that threat. He was still that weapon that if you get the ball in his hands, he's going to get down the field, and someone's going to have to make a business decision if they're going to get in front of him and try to tackle him, or they're going to just go ahead and kind of olay it and let him try to get by him, because that's a big man. And when he starts rumbling, he's really rumbling. And like I said, very athletic. So yeah, now the Raiders feel very confident about the tight end position. Now they know they got Darren Waller, who's a heck of a weapon. They need to figure out how to get some guys on the outside, some wide receivers that can make differences, because if they can get a difference maker on the outside, that's going to make Darren Waller that much better. So that's going to be one of the biggest questions for the Raiders. How do they make Darren Waller that much better? How do they take so much focus off of him by putting some other weapons around him?
And that's a great question, because taking a look at Darren Waller, he is an offensive masterpiece. I mean, he's fun. He's very productive. And I also got to tell you guys, too, the sponsor of today's episode of the show is also Predicated for Offensive Masterpieces. And that's our good friends over there at Blue Chew. So today's episode of The Crossover, you guys can expect to hear a little bit more about them. So taking it all back, you can increase your performance in the red zone and the end zone and get that extra confidence in the bedroom today by going to BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable tablet with the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know that they work and you can take them anytime, whether it's day or night, even on a full stomach. And because they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill does. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises today. If you're facing a fourth and goal situation, let Blue Chew lead you into the end zone. And if you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office anymore. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships straight to your door at your house in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly to you, that makes them much cheaper than what you'd pay at a pharmacy. And the best part of it all, there is no more awkwardness. So right now, listeners of this AFC West crossover episode, we've got a very special offer for you today. If you visit BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment absolutely free when you use our special promo code Locked On. All you're going to do is pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it free today. Blue Chew's the better, cheaper, and faster choice. And we want to thank them for sponsoring our ultimate AFC West crossover show.
All right, guys. Well, thanks again for listening to the AFC West Ultimate Division crossover. But before we get back into it, I have to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership at Metro Infinity, which you can find right off the 210 in Monrovia. If you haven't already, you have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring the new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, these guys get it. Right now, you can even save money by going to Metro Infinity and telling them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there. You will get an extra $500 off any new car. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at MetroInfinity.com. If you or anyone you know are in the market for any new car, please give Metro Infinity a chance to earn your business.
All right, jumping right back into the Ultimate Division crossover. We're talking Chiefs, we're talking Broncos, we're talking Chargers, and we're definitely talking Raiders. So got my man Ryan Tracy from Locked On Chiefs, Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos, and Daniel Wade, Locked On Chargers. And right now, today, on Wednesday, we are talking about the Raiders. That is the focus. So everyone's been asking different questions about the silver and black and about the 2019 season. But now, talking about moving forward, looking into the 2020 season, obviously it all gets started in April 23rd in Las Vegas with the NFL draft. And there's going to be a lot of good skill position players available in that draft. There's going to be some good defensive players available in that draft. And the Raiders are going to have to go and find the best of the best. So, Ryan, go ahead and start us off asking about the 2020 season or things that you want to know about the 2020 season as it comes to the Raiders.
Yeah, I really like the way that you frame that, Hugh, because there's so many options available in this particular draft class, and that's where I'm focused. And over at Rogue Analytics, we always look at athleticism first. We have a specialized formula for developing metrics that give you one number on who can affect your team the most functionally through athleticism. And when I look at this wide receiver class in particular, I feel like the Chiefs and the Raiders might be looking at some of the same guys. Do you feel that that's their top priority to help Carr out and combat, give some help to Waller like we were talking about in the last segment?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I absolutely do. I think that they have to increase the weapons around Derek Carr. I mean, they have some decent pieces, but they need some really nice pieces to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, ultimately, that's what it's all about, is how do you beat Kansas City? And you've got to get faster, you got to get bigger, and you got to get stronger. I mean, it's just really, really simple. And so when I look at the Raiders having the two first-round draft picks in the 2020 draft, I look at it as you could do a couple different things if you're the Raiders. You can go and get a wide receiver at number 12. You can go get a wide receiver at number 19 as well. You could double down and really come away with two big-time weapons. Or you could split it up, because the Raiders also need help on the defensive side of the ball as far as linebacker goes. Those are the two biggest needs. I'll tell you straight up, two biggest needs, in my opinion, for the Raiders moving forward is the linebacking core that's been ignored for way too long. I mean, they wanted Vontaze Burfict to be the guy last year. He played four games until he got suspended, and then he was out the rest of the year. So can you depend on that guy to be there and be the guy full-time for 16 games next year? Probably not. So you have to get the linebacking core shored up, and then you also have to get those wide receivers, like I said. So there's been suggestions. You know, Raider fans have debated back and forth, oh, go get a wide receiver at 12 and then a linebacker at 19, or go get, you know, a linebacker at 12 if Isaiah Simmons happens to fall there from Clemson, which I don't think he will. But if he's there, then you'd be stupid to not go get him. And if he's there, then maybe you even double down and get another linebacker at number 19. You know what I mean? There's so many different options, because this team ultimately has to get better. They got to get more talent. They got to get more speed. And so if the Raiders decide to dedicate themselves to the wide receiver position in round one, or even split it up, that's a good idea. But I mean, I look at a guy like a Jerry Jeudy. I would love to see him added to the roster. A guy like a CeeDee Lamb, wouldn't mind seeing him added to the roster. Even a guy like Henry Ruggs, I'd be okay with him being added to the roster. Any one of those three guys, if you come out of the first round with one of those guys at the wide receiving core, that just steps up the offensive pressure and the offensive strength that you have. If you just get one of those guys, if you get two of those guys, then you're really cooking with grease.
Well, and I think that when you take a look at some of those guys, adding that weapon into the mix alongside Darren Waller, a strong running game by the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I want to take a look at the secondary here, Q, because when you look at it, Darryl Worley, Trayvon Mullen, they were the secondary guys last year. Going into 2020, do you foresee any changes in the secondary at the corner position? Is that as big of a need as it used to be? We talked about them trading Gerrion Conley away to Houston. Things like that, I felt kind of made a little bit of a shift. I felt that the Oakland Raiders defensive backs played a little bit better after Conley was gone. And I really like Trayvon Mullen. Where is the organization viewing these guys? And is cornerback a fit for them in free agency or the NFL draft?
I think defensive back is definitely a need in the draft. The Raiders in 2019 only had 9 interceptions as a team. The problem is Trayvon Mullen doesn't come down with a lot of interceptions. He's a really good defensive back. I like him a lot. I think he has a lot of potential, but he only put his hands on the ball one time. He got one interception in 2019. He probably should have had 2, but one was called like defensive pass interference. I think the Chiefs threw the flag on it or whatever in it, and they were awarded it. They got it overturned, so that would have been his second interception, but he's not a guy who traditionally creates a lot of turnovers. They need to get a guy who could be a ball hawk. They need to be a guy that could not only break on the ball and break up the pass, but also come away with a turnover. That's when the Raiders were good in 2016, when they actually made the playoffs and they had an opportunity until Carr broke his legs. They were coming up with turnovers. The team itself, the defense wasn't great, but they were coming up with some turnovers. So I think that they need to get a guy, a real good defensive back across from Trayvon Mullen to be the dude. Daryl Worley is going to be a free agent. Nevin Lawson, they brought him back on a 1-year deal, but he's going to miss the first game of the season because of a suspension. They got Keyshawn Nixon, but he's a undrafted free agent out of South Carolina. He played last year. He was okay. But you got to get a guy. You got to get a dude, almost an alpha dog type guy that can go in there and really, really make an impact. And so I think they need to look at maybe a third round, because they have 3 picks in the third round. Maybe a guy, a defensive back in the third round that can come up with plays, that can get his hands on the ball and turn the ball over. To beat the Chiefs, you're going to have to turn them over a couple times.
Yeah, as many playmakers on the back end as you can get. I mean, that's something that every team obviously wants. But getting back to the offensive side of the ball, we talked about the relationship between Derek Carr and John Gruden. And 2020 has a big question mark as far as the quarterback for the Raiders goes. I mean, so when you see the rumors about Tom Brady potentially to the Raiders and, pushing on that pretty hard, and or looking at the draft where they're not in the top, few picks where they can get one of those top 3 guys, how do you see them addressing the quarterback position going into 2020?
I think Derek Carr is a quarterback until he isn't. There's a lot of rumors out there, like you mentioned, Tom Brady and the Raiders talking about trading Derek Carr. I don't think any of that is really realistic, to say the least. I think that Derek Carr is going to be the guy in 2020. I think the Raiders are going to draft a guy. I've made multiple suggestions on the podcast before of who I think they should do or what they should do in the third round. I think they should go and get a guy, get Jalen Hurts out of Oklahoma. And I know everyone's not 100% sold on him as far as his arm talent goes, but I feel like you can find a way to work him into your offense and maybe make your offense that much more dynamic. I think that Derek Carr, because he's a veteran, because he knows John Gruden's system, he'll be going into the third year of John Gruden's system. Why would you want to go in and get a rookie and have him be a starter and also have to start that thing over? Because John Gruden, as we know, it might not be the best offensive system, but it's a very complex offensive system. So you don't want to have to put a rookie under that kind of pressure and try to get him to learn all that complex verbiage that John Gruden has in his rookie year. You just rather him kind of learn on the fly and keep learning. And maybe at some point, if he's ready to take over for Derek Carr, fine, then pass the torch on to him. But for now, I think the best bet for the Raiders, even though a lot of Raider fans don't want to hear it, is having Derek Carr as a starting quarterback in 2020. And like I said, develop a young guy behind him. That's what organizations do. That's what good organizations do. They draft a guy and try to develop him and see where it goes. If you do that, great. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, that's all right. You can go and get another guy at some point. You can go into the draft and get another guy. But you have to at some point realize you know what Derek Carr is and who he is, and you want to improve what you have at that quarterback position.
And for the Raiders, quarterback is a big focal point. But coming up here in just a moment, we're going to dive into maybe how this transition from Oakland to Las Vegas is exactly for Raider Nation. And we got some fan questions coming in for you guys as well. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys, if you have a Google Home device or you have the Google Assistant app on your cellular device, you can open it up, go to your news source, click on and search for Locked On Podcast Network, add Locked On Podcast Network to your news sources. And every morning, open it up, say, hey, Google, play me today's news, or play me my news, and you'll get stories from the Locked On Broncos podcast, Locked On Raiders, Locked On Chargers, and Locked On Chiefs in 5-minute and 60-second news updates on your news devices today. So check it out by going to Google and saying, hey, Google, play me my news today.
All right, here we are jumping into segment number 3 of the Ultimate Division Crossover, talking with Ryan Tracy, Cody Rourke, and Daniel Wade. This is the AFC West Division, talking Chargers, talking Chiefs, talking Broncos and Raiders. And going into this final segment, talking about the transition from the Raiders from Oakland to Las Vegas and how that's going to play out, how it's going to play out with the fan base, how it plays out with the players and how they're getting adjusted to being all of a sudden members of Nevada and being in Sin City in Las Vegas. It's a different ballgame for the NFL as they have a professional team in Las Vegas. So let's go ahead and jump right into that.
You know, I wanted to ask for my fans, because we have a lot of Chiefs fans that want to know, and I actually do too. When you look at what we call the Darth Raider Stadium, we want to know, is it applicable? And maybe you know, maybe you don't. I don't mean to speak out of school, but the plan is for Chiefs Kingdom to get on a plane, get to the airport, walk over to the stadium, which I understand is only a couple of blocks, enjoy the game, have some festivities and some adult beverages, head back to the airport. Is that something that helps the NFL, helps the Raiders in terms of attendance and getting off the ground in Las Vegas? Or is it really looking to try and create a groundswell amongst Nevadans to really get into being part of Raider Nation?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be 100% honest. And I know that's probably not the best answer, but I do think that the NFL and the Raiders in particular are really embracing Nevada and really want to have a lot of the local love. And there is a lot of local love. I mean, they are ready. That place is ready for the Raiders. I mean, they are just fired up. Even in 2019, they already were doing the TV broadcast and the radio broadcast like it was the home team. So they've been preparing. They were doing watch parties, doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, they are prime and ready for the Raiders to arrive in Las Vegas and them start having their games. And 60% of the PSLs were sold were to people in the state of Nevada, and 40% of the people, the ones sold, were out of state. So that kind of lets you know how excited the state is for the Raiders to arrive in Las Vegas. But, you know, I do think it's also going to be one of those destination things, one of those weekend destinations. I really truly believe a lot of casinos are going to be sending out flyers to different people that go to their casinos and play all the time. Hey, come stay at our casino this weekend. And by the way, we'll give you a pair of tickets to the Raider game, whoever they're playing. You know, I think there's a lot of ways that they're going to be able to generate more business in a city that probably doesn't need more business, but still they're going to be able to generate more business, generate more tourists to come in. And the only thing is, if the Raiders could come in there and find a way to win, then they'll have a lot of local support, and they'll have a lot of Raider fan support. The problem is, if they go in there and they start losing and they're not winning like they expect to lose or expect to win, then all of a sudden you're looking at maybe a scenario like the Cowboys had when Jerry's World first opened up, whereas a bunch of fans of other teams going in there because, hey, we want to see the stadium. By the way, we want to see our team play the Cowboys. So the Raiders have a job where they have to go in and win so they can establish that fan base where it's not a bunch of visiting fans being there. Instead, it's a bunch of Raider fans being there.
And Q, I think that is certainly interesting because we see it in LA. I mean, we've seen it in Los Angeles for the Chargers stadium. A lot of fans of opposing teams would go to that stadium for the Las Vegas Raiders, which I said is going to be a weird transition getting used to calling in there. But we actually have a text message on our community. So somebody on community, our number 303-529-6323, Ryan Hess has texted in and says, for the Raiders, how do they think Raiders fans will view the move from Oakland to Vegas? Will it affect him in terms of any fan carryover? And I want to reference too here, we saw that the last home game in Oakland, fans were upset when they lost to Jacksonville. I mean, they pelted the stadium with trash and garbage and things like that. A tough scene altogether, and I get it, you know, a lot of frustration there. Do you feel like those Oakland fans will still carry over and be Raiders fans continuously? You know, how do you feel on the vibe of that?
Yeah, Raider Nation travels. I mean, it's worldwide. You know, I mean, hell, I'm sitting in Central Texas. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like Raider Nation really does a good job of supporting the team. And yeah, there's a lot of angry fans in the city of Oakland that are losing their team for the second time. So that's kind of it's like a punch in the gut. But I think that ultimately when it comes down to it's time for the Raiders to play, it's time for those games to hit the TV, whatever, I think you're going to see a lot of support still from the city of Oakland. But right now, I think it still stings. I know I was with some friends over the weekend and, they were saying I didn't go to any games in 2019 because I felt like, you know, the Raiders don't care about me and the NFL don't care about me. It's all about money. And I was like, well, duh. I mean, you know, that's what it is. It's a business. And so, you know, ultimately they had to get a new stadium. The city of Oakland wasn't going to help them get a new stadium. I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that they're leaving Oakland as a guy who's originally from the Bay Area, but I get it. I mean, I get it. You just can't keep playing in that dump. And so at some point you have to move on and try to get a something like an advantage, and you have to start to look for a good opportunity. So Mark Davis found a good opportunity in Las Vegas, and he took it. And so now the Raiders are going to be playing there. The stadium looks beautiful from what I've seen so far. I can't wait to visit and go check it out and see how it's going to be. And all Raider fans just have to realize that anytime there's a big opportunity, these organizations, these teams are going to take it if they get that opportunity. And so the Raiders did after years and years and years of wanting a new stadium in Oakland. So, I mean, it just didn't happen there. It happened in Vegas. And so now we just got to embrace it, you know, enjoy it and be happy that the Raiders have their own stadium. They don't have to share it with the baseball team. It's theirs. It's their home and it looks pretty cool. And so it is what it is.
Well, and the Raiders are definitely a national and international team, unlike the Chargers, who, you know, have had a much harder time trying to keep their fans in the move to Los Angeles. But my question is, the Raiders had such a unique experience at the Black Hole, you know, having a name like that, just the Black Hole, you know, carries something and brings with it a certain ferocity that stadium did. So for the Raiders, how important do you think it is for them to come out in their first season in 2020 and put together a winning record, a playoff appearance, or something of the like, to continue to get that local support and be able to have a stadium where other teams come in and they're getting drowned out, as opposed to what we've talked about before, where it could just be a bunch of other teams' fans coming in and just making a trip out of Las Vegas? How do they try to bring the Black Hole to Las Vegas? Does it matter how many wins they have?
Absolutely. I mean, it's very, very important. This season's got to be a winning season for the Raiders. I've said it multiple times. I'm going into 2020 expecting the playoffs. I don't care how you get there, but you got to get to the playoffs in 2020, year three underneath John Gruden. I mean, you are still in contention in week 17. Technically, you didn't win, obviously, and you didn't make it into the playoffs, but you weren't technically eliminated till week 17 of 2019. So that's a step in the right direction. Now you've got to get over the hump. Now you've got to show that, okay, everything that we did, all this teardown that we did, was all well worth it. You know, all these draft picks that we got, all these players that we brought in and redid this roster, this is the reason why. And Vegas, that's been the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to become a playoff team by the time they hit Vegas. They have a lot of pressure because if you guys remember, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, they went into Las Vegas in their very first year. They were in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, you know what I mean? This is their very first year. And so the Raiders have a lot of pressure. If the Golden Knights could do that, and look, the Golden Knights, they never played nowhere else but Vegas. So it's not like they're, you know, a team coming in from Oakland and just all of a sudden, you know, planting their flag in Vegas. This is a team that was established in Vegas. So that's really Vegas's own. So now if the Raiders want to be on that same stage and be Vegas's own as well, they have to find a way to win games. It's going to be very, very important. If they go out there and they have a piss poor season in 2020 and don't make the playoffs, I think that they'll be in trouble, man. I mean, they really will. Raider fans are always going to support their team, but I think everyone's going to be looking at John Gruden sideways, going to be looking at Mark Davis sideways, and looking at the Raiders as a whole sideways if they don't make the playoffs in 2020.
The Q, you know, I like the insight that we've gotten from the Chargers perspective, from the Chiefs perspective, from the Broncos perspective, because when we all look at the Oakland Raiders, or now the Las Vegas Raiders, see, there we go. I had to catch myself once again. I think it's going to be a series of change, and I don't know if they're going to change any types of uniforms. I'm eager to see that, but I do believe that them going to Las Vegas opens them up as a hot commodity for NFL free agency period. I feel like there are going to be some players that are going to look at the appeal of being in Vegas, maybe what it can do, and things like that. And obviously, with some money to spend, considering the fact that Antonio Brown's contract became void with them. They obviously avoided that whole scenario. But a lot of insight from your boy Q, host of Locked On Raiders, as we continue our AFC West Ultimate Division crossover series here on the Locked On NFL Network. Tomorrow's episode of the show, we are diving in with Dan on the Los Angeles Chargers. A lot of changes. Who's going to be their quarterback? A young team, free agencies all across the board. We're going to be talking about the Chargers in depth on tomorrow's episode of our crossover series here on the Locked On NFL Network.